Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, we ended last week talking about teenage anxiety, and we're going to start out this week kind of talking about it a little bit more.
Right. We did a long podcast
on
the increased rates of depression and anxiety in teenagers, especially in teenagers.
Right.
Why the massive, it really is a significant increase in anxiety and depression in teenagers.
Absolutely.
And we had given several, there are several hypotheses as to why there's that fear of terrorism, new phenomenon. And one of them was social media, of course, that always comes up. And so we ran into another article about this issue, about the relationship between social media and digital devices and the increased rates of anxiety.
Yeah. So. This is a blog post from Psychology Today that was just posted on November 7th, and it's entitled Young and Clueless, not Clueless. Clueless.
When I first read this, I was writing Clueless. And then it wasn't until I read it more carefully that I said, oh, he did say Clueless.
Yeah. Young and Clueless, thinking about the rise, the big rise in anxiety.
Right.
So this is written by Dr. Scott Stanley.
Right. And what he did.
I got those names easy.
Those, I was going to say.
Scott Stanley, those are easy.
But the next one's a little more difficult.
Yeah.
What Dr. Stanley does is he builds on the work of Gene
Twinge?
I don't know. That's what I said the next one. I don't know whether it's Twang or Twinge. Or I don't know.
T-W-E-N-G-E.
She's written a really good book, apparently, called iGen, small I, capital G-E-N.
Yeah. We've ordered it. We're just waiting for it to get here.
Waiting for it to get here. But she's also published some of her work is in the Atlantic. She publishes in the Atlantic. The other interesting part about this is that he takes her work and adds to it.
Right.
So we can talk. We'll talk a little bit about her work, and because she does believe that there's some link between social media and depression and anxiety, and she makes that case.
Right.
But he adds a little bit to it, which is we found very interesting.
Right. So very quickly. Jean, well, I'll just say Jean.
Jean, let's call her Jean. We'll act as though we know her.
Right.
We're good friends.
So what Jean's work basically says is that social media and electronic devices and the consistent ability and drive to be plugged in and connected doesn't just keep us connected, but it also makes us feel very anxious about being separate.
That's right. The two things that are happening is, on the one hand, you're always looking for, you're always actively pursuing information, but on the other hand, you never give it a rest.
Right.
As a neuropsychologist, you begin to wonder about the value of unplugging.
Right.
Because there are kids who never unplug.
Right.
And they never give their brain a chance to resettle or to reset.
And as we're talking about it, you know, we didn't talk about this part ahead of time, but it makes me wonder sometimes about fatigue. That's what you're talking about.
Right.
'Cause it's at some point one would think that it would just become exhausting.
That's one of the things I think that's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, and then as soon as, of course, you unplug for a moment and somebody makes a post or somebody reaches out and you don't immediately respond, that's where your anxiety and stress levels, you know, really ratchet up.
That's right.
You go after significantly.
That's right. You have this incessant, unending need to either be in it. And by not giving your brain a chance to rest, I mean, and think about all those kids who bring their phone to bed with them. You know, in the article that we talked about last week in the New York Times, there's that boy who sleeps with his iPhone against his head. Not just that you're interrupting sleep, that's bad enough, but your brain never has a chance to settle.
Right.
I heard a book a few weeks ago, and it's written by a child psychiatrist, and it's about giving your children a 1-month fast from all of these devices to allow their brains to reset, mm-hmm. to come back to some normal level.
Right.
But yeah, that has to be part of the problem. It seems to be part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of the increase according to Gene is this consistent, constant, never ending
right.
need to be plugged in and connected, and that sort of perpetuates the anxiety, and it just keeps the stress levels pretty high.
Right.
So that you then end up developing. And it kind of turns into anxiety and depression.
That's right. Because when you're on social media, what are you looking at?
Right.
You're looking at everybody else having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your feeling is that you're not. You know,
right.
So you're either looking at everybody else having fun, and then when you're not, what she said is you're either out with your friends having fun and taking pictures, or you're home alone watching other people
right.
having fun. So you never get a rest.
Right.
You're either there or you're there
right.
wondering.
And so then she talks about this whole idea of social comparison.
That's right.
Because you're comparing your life to the life of these other people. And
right.
again, that's going to elevate stress because
right.
we only post, and we've mentioned this in podcasts before, most people only post good things.
That's right.
I mean, or idealized things. And idealized either very, very positive
mm-hmm.
or idealized very negative.
Right.
And it's weird to think idealized in that way, but
there
idealized
are people
can be negative.
Who, there right? are people who do that,
right.
you know, who talk about all the bad stuff that's
right.
happening to them. But
yeah, you go through their feeds or their Facebook wall or
yeah.
their feeds, and everything is up again late at night.
Right.
Oh, I can't sleep. You know, and
kids,
tomorrow's going
sick.
To be terrible. It's like,
right.
okay, you know, I'm really...
Right.
Glad you're posting that stuff. That's,
that's
great.
Right. So there are people who do that. But by and large, it's look how wonderful my life is.
Right.
I want all of you to know how good my life is.
Right. Look
and
at
how
this
well
impromptu photo that I just took of myself, though really it was about 30 shots just to make sure that we got the right one.
That's right, to look uh-huh. just all the posing. But it made me... when we talk about Gene's work,
mm-hmm.
it is the social comparison.
Right.
Okay. And that you always have to be involved in some
mm-hmm.
way. And if something happens that you're not a part of,
right.
it's devastating to
right.
you. Okay.
Yeah.
So she talks about social comparison.
Right.
But Dr. Stanley takes this and adds another layer to this.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where the cuelessness comes in.
Right.
Which this is the first I've seen this notion of cuelessness.
Right.
Yeah,
because remember when we think about what a cue is. A cue is something that you see that should or will trigger a thought or
mm-hmm.
trigger a the initiation of a new behavior or
mm-hmm.
a change in behavior or something like that. And what he's saying is that we are missing those.
Right. Our species has become exquisitely tuned
mm-hmm.
to facial expression
right.
and tone of voice.
Right.
Okay. And that's how we judge somebody's emotions.
Right.
When you get a text, and everybody knows this, when you get a text, there's no tone of voice with it.
Right.
So you're left to interpret.
Mm-hmm.
But so what did the developers do? They added emojis.
Right.
Okay. Now we have all these emojis. But
mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, and it's not just because I'm illiterate, you look at an emoji and you say, I'm pretty sure I know what this means.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder
yeah.
if there's a meaning here that I don't know about. Like,
right.
like with young people, the emoji could have a very different meaning to them. I mean,
uh-huh.
I'm thinking this looks like a pleasant emoji. And then my kids will say, no, Dad, you should never use that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't. So they're not reliable. The other thing is that humans rely more on prosody, on tone of voice, than on facial expression
mm-hmm.
because you can have a facial expression that doesn't mirror accurately how you're feeling.
Right.
You know, people come up to me and say, wow, you look like you're having a really bad day. And
mm-hmm.
I say, well, everything's good today.
Yeah.
But my facial expression said something else to them. Tone of voice
mm-hmm.
is much more accurate. And
right.
that's what we've... And that's exactly what's missing
yeah.
in social media, in texting.
Absolutely. Because you just can't...
Can't add it.
Can't add that. And
mm-hmm.
and yeah, the emojis... Those were really interesting additions, but you know, there are times when I get the little winky face emoji, and I'm like, what?
Then you have to think.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
From?
Does that mean that she's joking,
Or does that mean that I'm like in a good place? I don't have to.
And that's what he's talking about.
Right.
There's not not enough of a cue to make a decision. And
exactly.
So you live with this ambiguity. And he said that also becomes a problem, is the ambiguity in social relationships.
Yeah.
You know, we've been, over generations, hundreds of generations, we've become very good at judging each other's emotions.
Right.
And now that's been taken away.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So so it's really difficult when we don't have those cues. And when we're not learning those cues, then when we do have face-to-face interactions, we don't know how to match and compare and incorporate that information into what were these direct face-to-face interactions.
And when he was writing, somewhere embedded in this article, he talks about experimental neurosis.
Right.
Okay. And that he's saying not only do we not have the information, but he said not having the information will create a breakdown.
Right.
He calls it, he compares it to experimental neurosis, mm-hmm. which was something that Pavlov discovered years ago, that if it's a very clear message, you can make a decision.
Right.
But the more ambiguous it becomes, the more anxious, mm-hmm. because you're trying to make a decision, but you don't have enough data. You don't have enough information.
Especially if there's a risk of punishment for getting it wrong.
If you make the wrong decision.
Right.
Right. That you're going to do something stupid, mm-hmm. or you're going to do something
incorrect.
Or you're
going to be ridiculed, or you're going to,
That's right. And so he's saying that that also creates depression and anxiety, just as it does in experimental animals who don't have enough information.
Right.
So back to cueless.
Yeah.
One other thing that they talk about, and I think it's a transition between Gene Twenge and Stanley, is that this notion of we're always looking to see what's happening out there. You know, we're constantly repeating that. And it made me think about our courses. They talk about the addictive quality of this thing. When we develop online courses, we're told to make them interesting, engaging, and fun. That's one of the primary characteristics. They have to be engaging.
Mm-hmm.
When I read this, I thought, they have to be addicting. Mm-hmm. You have to want to keep going back to it.
Yeah.
Because they say in this article that this is addictive by design.
Right.
And then I thought, dang, that's exactly what we're told to do when we develop online courses and make them fun and engaging.
Yeah. When I developed, I developed the online completely web-based abnormal psych course.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself looking for more and more, I'm just going to use the word provocative, types of videos and activities that are going to keep them engaged. So, you know, it's sometimes, then you feel like you have to put like a little disclaimer, hey, you know, this video is going to be a little bit, it's going to push the limits a little bit, so be ready.
Because your task was to make this as engaging as possible. And when that's what developers are doing.
Right.
They want to make this as engaging as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Or as addictive as they want you to keep using it.
Right.
And just as in television, we have the talking heads. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at years ago, if you traveled to Europe, television was boring compared to American TV because you would have this image of a person just talking.
Right.
Whereas did you ever watch ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's stuff blowing up in the screen and they're shifting. And
there's like four screens going on at one time.
It's exhausting watching it because your brain is just...
A lot of the 24-hour news channels are like that.
They do that too.
Yeah.
It's because they have to keep you engaged.
That's why I don't watch that stuff.
And so these devices are by design... you don't like to use the word addictive, but they are by design addictive.
And they foster the release of dopamine and all those happy things.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, what are you doing? You're putting your glasses on again.
No.
Hey, see, this is what happens. He takes notes.
It's in another one. It's in another one.
Okay. We'll talk about that.
Okay, but I have to remember what... to vocabulary.
You know what? Every podcast we do this week, I'll mention the release of dopamine, and then it'll cue your memory for each of them so that wherever that one's supposed to be...
It's there somewhere.
You'll remember.
I'll do it. But I have to be careful because it has something to do with other forms of...
Okay.
And
I don't know what I'm going to do with this guy.
So, but I like the two of these. I like the way he transitioned from what Twenge said to this business about we don't have enough cues and there's this ambiguity, and the ambiguity is creating anxiety.
Right.
And it does in these kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, it would in me, certainly.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get, when we talk about experimental neurosis, one of the things is if you can't make a decision.
Right.
The other problem is if we do an experiment with dogs and they get the cue that they're going to be fed.
Right.
If you make them wait too long, they develop experimental neurosis. You know, they're expecting it now.
Right.
And you delay it.
Right.
They break down.
Yeah.
And what comes to mind, if you send somebody an email or a text, and they don't respond within the time you think they should, you start to get...
Yeah. And the worst thing is those read receipts that you get. So you send a text and you get the message that, oh, they read it. And it was like, well, haven't they responded yet?
Right. Because their sense of time, you know, I don't need to respond to this right away. Maybe you wanted an immediate response. Mm-hmm. But again, you can't convey that urgency in a text.
Yeah.
And so the other problem is not just that they don't have enough cues, but the cue might come too late.
Right.
And we all worry about that.
Yeah.
Why hasn't she responded?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So lots of little landmines.
Little tidbits.
In the world of digital communication.
Absolutely. So,
careful.
That is it for today. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about for the past week, we've been talking about some of the upcoming changes. We're still working, finalizing some of the new show art and music that we've got coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But also... we're almost, once we have the artwork finalized, then we're going to be able to launch our Patreon page. And we'll talk more about that when we have it launched. But in the meantime, help get the word out there, you know, write a review, follow us on YouTube and iTunes, in the iTunes podcast app or whatever app or however, in whatever form you follow us, you know, share us with your friends and, you know, certainly writing a review or rate us on iTunes is going to help increase our visibility to others and get more people listening and watching and interacting.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Somebody asked me last week where they could find our podcast. They'd heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, almost anywhere. YouTube, iTunes, Twitter.
We try to get it everywhere.
Right. So it's available.
It is. So pass it on.
Yes.
Do what we tell our kindergartners to do and share. All right.
Sharing and caring.
Everything we learned about life, we learned in kindergarten. All right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.